Well, a very good morning to you and welcome back from the news summaries. We are 13 minutes past the hour of 11. You're listening to The Beat on 101 Radio Miraya. And of course, we are on a segment of culture and traditions. As you can already hear in the background, we have the Toposa singing there. And as well, joining me for to talk about the Toposa community, the way of marriage and other traditional rituals is Mr. Michael Lopuke, who is a senior technical advisor in the National Ministry of Higher Education and Scientific Research. Good morning.
Good morning, Donna.
Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
My pleasure.
Yes. To begin with, welcome to the segment Culture and Traditions. Today, we're excited to have you here so we can get to also learn about the Toposa community in Eastern Equatoria State. We can maybe start with who the Toposa are, their origins, so that we get to learn a bit about them before we get into their way of marriage.
Thank you very much, and I would like to appreciate the request to share about the Toposa people with the audience across the country. The Toposa people are part of the Nilotic group. The Nilotic group is subdivided into three major divisions according to their linguistic.
Mm-hmm.
The Western Nilotic, Eastern Nilotic, and Southern Nilotic. The Toposa belong to the Eastern Nilotic. The Eastern Nilotic is again further subdivided into the Bari speaking groups, the Lotukoma speaking group, and the Karamojong Teso speaking group.
Mm.
And it is within this Karamojong Teso speaking group that we call Netunga or Kar, is where the Toposa belong to. The Toposa, they call themselves Kar. The Kar is actually the name Toposa has a very, it has an history of being a nickname to the Toposa people. But the original name of the Toposa are Kar. And today, there are communities, there are neighboring communities, they call them as such.
Mm.
Like the Lotuko, they call Akara.
Yeah.
And that is the original name of the Toposa people.
Okay.
And also the Bari speaking, they call themselves Karo. The Karo is actually come from Kara, Akara.
Mm.
That is now the people who belong to one family. That is family people. So the Toposa live in the far east of this country, in Eastern Equatorial State, and their population is ranged between 700,000 to over 1 million plus. Although, of course, the 2008 census did not take them properly. So the Toposa people are agro-pastoralist. They rear cattle and they also farm. Among the cattle, they have the zebu type of cattle.
Mm-hmm.
The sheep, the goats, and the donkeys, especially the Toposa of the eastern part. You know, we are also divided into about 10 sections. And six of these sections, they live in the east, the far east of the Toposa country. So mainly the Toposa in the east rear more donkeys and camels, and together with the rest of the cattle.
Mm.
Good.
So you say the name Toposa is a nickname. How did it come about? And they're known as Kar.
Okay. You know, we all migrated from northwest of Lake Turkana. That is the Eastern Nilotic, the groups that I've talked about, the Bari-speaking groups,
mm-hmm.
the Lotuko-Ma-speaking groups, all the Lotuko, including the Maasai.
Yeah.
The Maasai and the Lotuko-speaking group, if you go to Greater Torit, today, these are all the Lotukoma speaking groups together with the Maasai in Kenya. So about 2,000 years ago, they were living in northwest of Lake Turkana in a place called Dongiro. All these groups started migrating away from that area from the beginning of 1,000 years AD, and they started their migration. So the Kar was the unified name, both for the Toposa and the Lotuko-speaking group, and even the Karamojong-speaking groups. So the Toposa, having migrated through from there, they went as far as Uganda, north of Uganda, that is today Karamojong area. And they lived in two major areas, that is the Koten and the Mogos. And they spread all the way to Kotido and to the areas of Kabong and to the areas of Moroto. So again, they decided to split. That is where now the name Toposa came out. So they migrated back, some of them. So that group, after when they were coming down, so they were looking at, where are you going to? Where are you heading to? They say, we are heading towards west of the swamp. And that is the Kidepo Valley. They were coming north of where they are coming from, towards the Kidepo. And that, by translating it or defining it according to the Toposa, according to their language, that is mean north, that is to, that is west. And then pass is the swamp. So they said, we are going north or west of the swamp where they settled. And that is areas, if you look into the maps, that is Kidepo Valley, the country of Logir, the country of Lango, the country of the Didinga, along all that area up to where the Lotuko of Lobera and even of Ileu, and then the Didinga meet. So the Toposa became a kind of assimilation, because as they were moving, they were integrating all the other groups, smaller groups that they could find on their way, and they were friendly. So the Acholi called Toposa Abo, that is friendly people. And also the Lango also called them Kar, just like the way the Lotuko called them, the other Lotuko-speaking groups. So the name Toposa has become their name. So we have embraced it. But today, if you ask my mother, who are you? She will call, I am Kar. That is, I am from Kar. Yeah. That is from the bigger family.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. And yes, now let's get into, you know, how marriage is conducted in a Toposa community.
Given that the Toposa people are pastoralists and also they engage in agriculture, they adopt a polygamous way of marriage. That is, mean a man can marry more than one wife, depending on his ability to keep up the family.
Yes.
And because this is the nature of all the pastoralist groups across all over the world, at least in many parts of the world, and especially in Africa. And marriage, how marriage is conducted, there are so many ways in which marriage happens among the Toposa. There is arranged marriage, especially a father or a parent can decide to have a wife for their son. And what they do is that they have specific family that they would like their son to marry from. And in that way, the father will send at least a messenger, somebody elderly, to say, okay, you go and identify if there is a daughter in the family and so on so. And when it is confirmed, then he tells to the son that I would like you to marry from the family and so, of the so and so.
Yes.
And that marriage can happen in that way. The other marriage also is a kind of, that is an arranged marriage. The other is deceased marriage. Deceased marriage is comes in a way that a young man before his marriage passed on and could be the only, or could be also maybe one of the sons in that family. So in order to keep his name and legacy in the family, so the family or the brothers or even the father can decide to marry for the deceased. So a girl is brought to the family, married officially, and then this wife now is handed to the brothers and to raise the children in the name of the deceased husband. The other types of marriage is a woman who has no child at all, or she had never bared a child or had children and all the children passed on, or a woman who only she's only having daughters, maybe 2, 5, 4, 5, 10 daughters, and she has no son. That woman can decide to marry a girl for her family. So she goes, because she has the cattle through her daughters, and she can now talk to the husband, and the husband will arrange to make sure that a girl is brought to the family of this wife.
Interesting.
And then, of course, all the traditions are done, and this girl now who is brought to this family now raises children in the name of that woman for that particular family.
So how is it done? So this girl is brought in with a man, or who is she going to bear the children with?
There are many people within the family, relatives or the children.
The relatives to the woman's husband.
To the woman's husbands, or even to
her husband.
Or to herself. She can even, especially to the man's husband, she can have one of the children of the co-wife. For example, she could be one of the wives among the wives of the husband. So she can pick one of the sons and then raise children for her own house. Now that one is house. We call it house, not a family, because the family is bigger. The extended family. But the nuclear family is now why I'm talking about this woman deciding to bring a wife for her own home. That is how it happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That is quite interesting.
So there is a lot that is just like a tip of an iceberg. So when we dwell into more details about this, it is part of the legitimate marriage within the Toposa people.
Okay.
So this happens. And then there is also a type of marriage in which a young man can elope, of course, a girl, and whether through their boss, their consensus or not, she can take this girl and then, of course, inform the parents that I have run away with this lady. So we have decided to go. And of course, now the parents will come and then take the process of marriage and wedding. This happens. Also, it becomes legitimate later when it is resolved. Finally, another type of marriage is what is called ceremonial or LMA. LMA, it is these days is no longer, although it happens, it is not really, it is becoming, it is diminishing. In the past, a kind of a ceremony, a ceremonial dance, which we call LMA, is done. And all the elderly people, you know, there is no limit for a man in terms of age among the Toposo people where you can say, okay, you are this man, I'm not going to marry anymore. A man in his 80s can still marry. In his 70s can still marry. In his 60s, so whatever age it is, as long as...
And marry a girl of whatever age.
Yes, marry a girl. And now this LMA especially is for the girls that are over at least 20 years and above. And this, so the men will now will line up and then they dance. These girls will now come. She will dance towards the man that she wants to get married to. And then, of course, once she picks that man, that is final. There's no person, the man will not going to accept, either to reject, neither the parents are not going to reject the decision of the girl. So the girl will decide who she wants to. And this could also be a the parents will have advised the girl that, you know, we need you to get into this family. You know, for us, the Toposa, we don't just marry because of the beauty or because of... there are a lot of factors that are involved. First of all is, you know, incense is a taboo. It is actually, it is something that cut across all the society that you cannot marry from the clan that also the same... where you come from.
Yeah.
So make sure
relatives.
That at least, yes,
yeah.
Relatives. The other thing is that people marry because of good character. And there are also families with the known kind of maybe like a witch, like evil eyes, all these. There are so this kind of factors also determine which family you can go to. It is not just to, it is not just like I really admire this lady or I like this gentleman and that is it. So this is it. Especially a better marriage is done especially when there is a very a consensus, especially from the parents to the son or even to the daughter that would like you to be in that family or to take that family. So this is what it is. There is also one last kind of marriage is that, you know, pregnancy, especially premarital sex, is something which is very common. And when a young man impregnates a lady, one among the Toposa, it doesn't guarantee marriage. The immediate thing is that is defined, that is seven cows, what we call kasorbet, which is known.
Yeah.
Kasorbet is paid immediately without any negotiation. Once you have accepted, you have confirmed that yes, this pregnancy you are responsible for it, you pay for. And that payment of seven cows does not guarantee you neither the girl or even the child, because that child doesn't belong to you. Regardless of whether you are the biological father and you are paid for seven cows, that child is not yours. The girl will go back to their family and wait for another man to get married to.
What if this man says he wants to marry this girl?
Now, that is now the second stage in which now they will now come and begin the negotiation, the marriage negotiation. Now, it is up to here that whether the family of the girl accepts their daughter to get married to this man. And if they don't, then they can just say no. They cancel. They say, we will not allow this girl to, for you to get married to, or to get married to this family.
Yeah.
So this something that it is happening right now. It is still being practiced.
Right. Thank you so much. And for those who are just joining in, you're listening to Radio Mirai. This is The Beat. We are on our culture and tradition segment, and we are talking about the Toposa community of Eastern Equatorial State. With me in the studio is Michael Lopuke, the Senior Technical Advisor in the National Ministry of Higher Education and Scientific Research. We will be back after this short musical break. Welcome back from that musical break. I don't know what they're talking about in the music.
Okay, you know that song belonged to the generation set of Ngoletiang.
Okay.
The Ngoletiang is a generation set. And they have the, you know, the Ngoletiang, that is the antelope.
Mm.
Yes. So they have that symbol, and that is their one of the best of their songs.
Okay. So we have talked about these many types of marriages in Toposa community.
Yes.
So which is the most common one? That is because, you know, some times have changed. Just like you mentioned, some of these do not happen anymore.
The most common one is now is really becoming one-to-one. For example, especially among the young people. For example, a young man, you're walking, you're moving along the road, or you come to a place where you see a girl, and by the look of how she looks like, how she looks like, then you begin by simple kind of introduction. You say, hey, lady, how are you? You know, one of our culture is that, you know, a girl is not supposed to reject greetings, or if a man stops her, even if she's engaged with other girls or other people, she has to stop and to listen to. Then she said, I would like you, please give me water, especially the water points. Especially and the water points. Then you go, you give the man, give the water, he can even decide to say, you give me more water so that I take shower. I can take at least bath. And you will do that. Okay. And wait for the man to start to take bath. So from there, the first thing always that happens is that introduction. Who are you? From which clan?
That comes a bit to like how the modern dating is.
The modern dating, especially. For us, we are very strict in terms of you cannot just begin with a girl that you do not know the clan, because it is abomination. And it is also, once it is discovered that you are in love with somebody who is related to you, it is also, even within the modern dating, still the toposa, young people today, they still maintain that unless the toposa who is grown outside the community or somebody who is not closer to the parents, that is always being told, say, hey, the moment you approach a girl, get to know where she is, because our clans are spread all over. There is no specific area where a specific clan is confined to. And you may end up engaging your own sister. So this is it. Another thing is that you can just decide, say, hey, please, you look for me some tobacco. Because the tobacco, that is like kutkut, which we have here.
Yeah.
We have it very common in Torit, in Kapo, in Juba here, you will find that. For us, that tobacco is very symbolic. It is not just additive or something that is smoking. It is actually a way of getting, it is a social kind of, like, for example, I may decide to ask you, say, hey, Donna, would you mind to give me, I need some tobacco. Then she say, I don't have anything. Maybe just anytime, in case I will get you. And then you will go with that message. The moment you get that message, then you go eat. How much little it is, you will present that tobacco to the young man.
Well, so you are talking about this is a generational song. How are youth initiations done in the Toposa community?
Our initiation is not strict like other communities. I've studied many other communities, like even the like the Ma groups, the Lotuko groups, whereby you find that young men are collected, they have to go through initiation. But the Toposa, first of all, there is generational initiation, which has ended since 1960s. And it has never, the last time initiation was done was, it was early 1960s. Since then, it has not. But now, for me to get to my age mate, I have to kill a bull, and then I have to take part in the bigger ceremony in which young men will have to mobilize more than 200, 300, 400 bulls, depending on their size, in order to sacrifice to their elders.
Okay.
That is part of our initiation. But the immediate initiation within the age group is when you have to spear a bull to your what? To your group. That is it. Unlike the Maasai, whereby it is through circumcision. For us, circumcision is not part of our culture. So if there is, especially among the young people today, it is personal decision to go for initiation. Otherwise, it is not part of the Toposa culture.
So a youth is a youth. If a man, you are a youth, you can, you know, participate in all the community activities.
Exactly.
Because in other communities, if you're not initiated, trust me, you don't even have a voice.
Exactly. Even for us, you know, the initiation, especially killing, the killing of that bull is also puts you into a place within your what, within your age group, and even within your age sets, the generation sets. For example, today I am in my late 40s or 50s, early 50s, and my generation sets expand more than 160 years. Today I have an age mate within the generation Z who is in his 90s or in his 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And here there is a young man who is still maybe the age of 10.
Mm.
This is all one generation. But the age sets is within 5 years to 10 years,
mm-hmm.
that grouping. So it is within the age set that now you become initiated. And also the initiation also, especially in the rural, in the typical area, is also taking part in many activities. First of all, the defense of the community, especially going for scouting. For example, we are surrounded by the enemies.
Mm.
We call it enemies, Ngemoy. And every time there is cattle raiding, there is cattle thefts. So these young people have to go to make sure that they defend.
Mm.
They have to go for scouting. They have to go for what? A raid or cattle raid is not part of our initiation. It is not a mass. It is not celebrated that unless you have to go for a cattle raid, then you become what? But of course, that significant. The moment you are able to succeed in a cattle raid, there is a bull or there is a cow that is named after you based on that event that you have raided, and you are called by the name of that cow or that bull, and that always lure people, especially young men, to make sure that at least they have to be called by the name of the bull that they have.
Yeah,
they have raided. You know, it is also manhood. It tells you that you are a man, that you are not just able to, you are not waiting from home, you are able to go on offensive.
Does that still happen till now? Because, I mean, now it's bringing in a lot of...
We in town, we think that maybe a lot has changed, especially in the peripheral communities.
Mm.
In communities that are still holding their culture, those things are happening. Not only in the Toposa, all other communities, especially the pastoralist communities in South Sudan, we form over 64% of the entire population.
Mm.
And still the culture still strong.
And you know, the issue of cattle raiding is like one of the major problems of insecurity right now.
To make it very clear, in the past, about 20 years ago, there used to be an organized cattle raid.
Mm.
Today, what I call is cattle theft.
Yeah.
Cattle theft is different from cattle raid because the raid is that people are mobilized for months, and people go in bigger groups of thousands of people. This is not happening in our communities today. What is happening is cattle thefts, whereby you find 15 people, 20 people who go sneak at night or during daytime, and they raid. Sometimes they succeed, and sometimes they fail. It is happening.
So the raid before was peaceful, yeah?
Of course, there's no raid which is peaceful. It is offensive. It is deadly.
Okay, all right.
It is deadly. And
Now I don't see the difference of cattle raiding and thieving.
Okay, cattle raid, the difference between cattle raid and thieves is that as of now, the cattle raid is sanctioned by the elders. It's approved by the elders in the community. Now they bless, they said, you go to war. Now since you have identified your target or the community where you would like to, you can go. This is not happening today. The elders, they say no. But the thieves they decide on their own regardless of the approval of their parents, of their elders. They don't do that. So they go, they still do the same thing, and they the red kettle and they bring them home.
I guess we'll keep that conversation for another day as we are also running out of time. Is there a specific number of cows when paying dowry? Or it depends on the family?
This is a good question. Our dowry depends on the family, but in each person within the family has a specific number of cattle. The mother, it is start when you are paying dowry, it is start with the mother. The mother is entitled to 10 cows, maybe 4-6 bulls and 4 female. That is it, but it is not paid all at once. The father the same, 10. Now the rest of the people, for example, you are a young lady whose dowry is going to be paid, and your father has, say, for example, 10 wives.
Yeah.
And these 10 wives, each of these wives is entitled to
give 10.
To get the, not 10, 3, 2, others 5.
Okay.
And even they meet the next mother, your stepmother, who is maybe the senior one, she's entitled to 7, apart from the biological mother who gets 10 cows. Then the rest will get 1, 1, 1, 2, and that is it. And the uncle, the immediate uncle, the senior uncle to your, or the brother to your mother, is entitled to 3 cows.
Okay.
And if there are many, each of them will get 1, 1. And also the aunts, both from the father's side and from the mother's side. Everybody is entitled to the dowry. And now it depends whether that family is a smaller family
or a bigger family. Yeah.
If you decide to go to a bigger family, then you will expect. But for us, regardless of how big the family is, how large it is, you cannot exceed 100 plus head of cattle.
Yes.
That is abomination. It is not acceptable.
Okay. So the max number is?
The max number is 80, 90. You begin from 30. Especially today, if you have like 30 head of cattle, you can get, you are paid, you have secured your what?
Your wife. But you know, I like the fact that it's a collective responsibility.
It is a collective responsibility.
A family's responsibility.
Like, for example, I have sons now who are going to get married. And it is my obligation as a father to pay fully the dowry of the wife of my son. And I will ask him, what is your contribution? His contribution will be insignificant. How much it is, I will not rely on what. All that I need is him to get married. If he decides to get married to the second wife, third or so, it is now up to him. But the first one is my entitlement as a father to make sure that I pay the dowry. So the dowry, there's no strict number that you have to pay this. I will strive to make sure that I am able to pay, say from 30, from 40, up to 50, depend. Even can start with 11. Just 11, you can start with, and then wait. And it takes years to continue with it. And you have been talking more about modernity. Today we have girls that have gone to school, graduates, that have, really. And if you look into our communities, especially in South Sudan today, a girl who has completed higher education is well, we don't put that into our dowry. We don't count.
Tanuswan
mafi.
It's only Gurush Tabanat.
Gurush Tabanat. Alu it nin kanta jai min bait. Min beletane tabedafa it nin tor.
Okay.
Tabedafa kanta min hella dahil hella. You kill one bull. It is kill and then they eat. Mon bija kol fi betake.
Okay.
So this is what is happening. Now this kind of dowry, it gives everybody a chance to to get a wife,
yeah,
or to get to be married.
Mm-hmm.
Because for us, it is not about your poverty. Even if you're poor, you don't have, you can still get married as mm-hmm. long as you're mannered, you're hardworking. And sometimes I can go to the father of the girl that I would like to marry to and say, Father, yes, please give me. Your daughter, her womb will pay for her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Her womb.
Yeah.
But not to have the jada fasuno.
Yani iyala lo bijawole.
Iyala bijawole dude, the jada fasuno, the jada fa.
Mali de.
Malto. Obe, ode yao, ma bikele mwita kan zol kweis, you will be given.
Yeah.
I te zol tamam, and then you will struggle.
Oh, wow. Shukran. Thank you so much. And lastly, we are running out of time. Maybe in 3 minutes, let's talk about chime naming. Tanguidi asami kefleyal, is it? Depending on the seasons, well, it's in...
Anna Mendana, strict naming, like, for example, the Bari. I've seen how the Bari speaking. Because I always make reference, you know, we are part of what that family of the Eastern Nilotic.
Mm-hmm.
And... we share common culture, even clans. We have clans within the Bari speaking group or the Lotuko speaking group that are in the Toposa.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that. Our naming is not having any systematic way. The only thing that is not allowed is that for you as a wife to name any of your child to your parents or to your relatives. That is not acceptable.
So I cannot name a child with any of my relatives' names?
No, no. You cannot do that. You will only wait until when your son marries, and now your son will name his children to...
After my relatives.
After your relatives.
Okay.
Yes, that one is happening, but not you. And usually what we do is, the first child is always named either after the mother or the father, or the brother within the extended family.
Mm.
So this is it. Then the second one, the woman can decide to name to any person, either a friend,
but not her relative.
Not her relative. You can have the best of your friend, and then you decide to name after her. And then that is allowed. Like for me, I'm named after the best for.
After your mother's best friend.
Best friend, yes, that is it. And then also, in-laws. For example, a man who has married from the family, from that family, is always given the privilege to, for example, you are married, and then you go back to your family and said, I need this child to be named after my husband. That one can happen even to the first, born of that family, or to any child in that family. You can name it. You can name that child after your husband.
Oh, wow.
They nesip. So when you entitle me, an indial from whose name after me from the family that I've married to.
Wow.
Aye.
Interesting, quite interesting. Time is really not, time is not favoring us right now. And maybe just your last remarks. What are your last remarks?
Thank you very much. As earlier I said, I am an educator, educationalist. I have been to this studio from 2010 with those of Sebit Abdu and all this. And I'm always a public figure. I would like to, of recent, I've seen the liberation of the South Sudanese people from what? From the colonial, from the European colonial colonization and from the Arabization. Why I'm saying that? Now, the people of South Sudan are beginning to embrace their culture, their tradition. See what happened in Terekeka.
Mm-hmm.
See what happened on the 14th of among the Pojuluk
Festival.
Festivals.
Mm-hmm.
See what is happening among the Lotuko, the Bari speaking, and all this. This is now, we are reclaiming it. You know, when we grew up, especially in the 80s, 90s, these kind of things were not happening. You know, the moment when you're speaking your own language, whether it is Lotuko or it is Nyangwara, whatever it is like, they are Hali. They all jive in belly. The other thing is also, see how white weddings are now becoming things of the past.
Yeah.
Young people are embracing their traditional way of marriage.
Yeah.
And that is something that we need to embrace and to promote it.
Okay.
I will be more than happy to visit this studio more than again and again, and in order for us to educate or to share
all our right heritage. thank you so very much. And that's it right there. That is Michael Lupke. He's a senior technical advisor in the National Ministry of Higher Education and Science Technology. Thank you so much. Let's meet after the news summaries.